Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Teams, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce our host and begin the interview, if you would, please.
Well, once upon a time, he was just a young lad at Basich Elementary School, and he happened to be in my group, Joe, in summer camp over in Ross, California, and boy, has he grown up to be quite a big deal. Follow him on Twitter, at Ronnie2K, where he's got over a million followers. He works with the good people at NBA 2K, and he joins us now. Ronnie, good morning. First, just tell us about how this 16-man NBA 2K event with actual NBA players came about.
Yeah, what's up, Dan? You were just telling the story. I mean, it's crazy. How many people do you really know that you've known for 30 years? It's just wild. So good to talk to you. I also know Lo a little bit. He's watched my dog Sophie before, so
I have.
Just a big fan of your guys' show, and obviously
I love Sophie. By the way, how's Sophie doing?
She's great. She's literally sitting right in front of me. She's got a ball. She wants to play. You know, if there's one thing about this whole coronavirus in thing, the animals are loving it. Like this is their best time.
Without
absolutely. And we appreciate you coming on this morning, no doubt. One of the things we wanted to break down before we get into our specific teams, you've been keeping an eye, I'm sure, on what ESPN's about to launch. Tonight at 4 p.m. Pacific, they're going to start this 16 NBA player tournament, NBA 2K20. It's going to start tonight. It's going to run until next Saturday. You know the game about as well as anybody. So you got 16 players tonight. Do you know anything about these guys? Who can play well? Who's a gamer? Who should be watched out for?
100%. You know, over the years, I've played 13 of 16 of them, so I'm very familiar with all of their games. I'm probably the closest to it, but let's take a step back for a second. So 16 players that we invited into this tournament, we've identified them as pretty much among the best players in the entire world at 2K, definitely in the NBA. So we're really excited about the level of competition, and it's a light that you don't see them in, right? Like, you see them kind of trash talking on television, but you don't really hear it. To have them mic'd up, to hear them in a competitive element, you know, where we can try to get their juices out and their juices flowing, it's going to be really exciting. I can't wait for some of the words that these guys say. You know, I've been calling it the trash talking regional. We have a regional. We have a regional where we have Hassan Whiteside, Andre Drummond, DeMarcus Cousins, and Patrick Beverley. I don't know how we're going to keep this PG between those four, but you know, it's just going to be great. And obviously, like with everything that's going on in the world, we just wanted to provide a little bit of entertainment, and I think it's going to be really fun. So yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Pacific, kicking off on ESPN1. I'm going to do a preview show, kind of laying out how I see the whole thing going down.
Wow.
Tell me about your thoughts. Like, I think I saw each of your teams.
Yeah.
Each of the players you thought were going to be go to the top.
Before we jump there, I wanted to ask the question. Now, when you were going through this process of picking guys, was it the teams telling people, hey, this is why Cousins is the best on our team? How are you guys gathering this information to understand? Because there's a lot of guys that play the PlayStation and do all those different things. But what is it? What was the process of saying, okay, I know these guys are elite, or is this just by guys just telling you?
I mean, we are the number one rated, number one selling game, and these guys have played it for years, and we just know that experience. They continually talk about it on social media. We've seen them at events. We've, you know, done little regional things over the years to kind of identify them. And, you know, the NBA has done that recruiting as well. The NBA Players, National Basketball Players Association, throws events where 2K is in their booth all the time. So we just over time, we've kind of got an understanding who we've identified. You know, we've worked with a lot of these guys for years.
Ronnie, as we look at the ratings you guys came out with, Kevin Durant far and away higher rated than any other NBA player. How does he compare against some of the best players who play the game, period?
Yeah, so obviously we seeded the tournament because we don't know exactly how good they are at NBA 2K20, specifically this year's game, and we change so dynamically year over year that it's hard to kind of track that over time. So it's actually based on their in-game rating, how good they are on the actual basketball court. Kevin Durant, obviously one of the best players in the league, if not the best player in the league. And you know, the other guys are kind of lined up beyond that. So the seeds, while they're fun, they're not really based on how good they are in the game. So I fully expect some quote-unquote upsets because it'll be really interesting to see who is the best at the game itself. And, you know, we haven't had this opportunity to just line up 16 players to get them to battle it out. So it's going to be really interesting for us to find out who the best is.
Hey, is there a thought process of saying, because I know playing football, I would still play, you know, NBA jams, all the different things that you would still do, and it's cross-branding. Basketball, they play football. Was there a chance that you wanted to say, hey, NBA against the NFL? Was that a chance that happens? And
I think it's something that still could, you know, like, the obvious play is to have NBA players playing as themselves. We're going to have to see, maybe there's a celebrity version of this, maybe there's a Legends version of this, maybe there's another sports version of this. But we really, really wanted to give the fans something, which was to watch their favorite NBA players talk trash, get competitive in the video game that they love.
Ronnie 2K joining us here on 95.7 The Game. All right, I'm going to lay out the teams for you. I think you might have the graphic in front of you. So here's what we've got. Dibs is working with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Domantas Sabonis, and DeAndre Ayton. Lowe is working with Boogie Cousins, Donovan Mitchell, Patrick Beverley, Harrison Barnes, and Michael Porter Jr. I'm working with Trey Young, Hassan Whiteside, Andre Drummond, Montrezl Harrell, and Rui Hachimura. One guy was left over, Derek Jones Jr. He goes to our producer and board op. We also are going to need your help on a bet. We need something that the winner can walk away with here. We haven't come up with a good idea yet. We've put it out to the listeners as well. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. We'll get to that. But if you see the breakdown of the teams, how would you handicap it, best team to worst team?
Well, I hate to say this because I've known him the longest, but Dave, I'm not sure about your team. Here's the reason why. I think that, like, a lot of the younger guys are generally going to have an advantage. And I just think that they get to play more. They don't have the distraction of kids. And they've been playing it through high school, college. And they're ultra competitive. They've grown up in this world of gaming and, you know, playing all of these other video games. A lot of those guys have Twitch channels and they play competitively all the time. Joe, I like your team. It's young. And, you know,
this guy's smart.
Good players in there. So I think I'd lean that way. And then in terms of a bet, I assume that means for your users, I'd be curious who people think is going to be the first person to hit triple digits in scoring. So it's 6-minute quarters, which will drive the scoring, you know, down from a regular NBA game, just because a regular NBA game is 12 minutes a quarter. And we're very authentic in terms of the scoring. But I fully expect somebody to hit 100 points. So I'd be curious what your users think, who'd be the first person to hit 100 points.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 right there. We're talking with Ronnie 2K. Go ahead, Dibs.
Like when Adventure Camp used to take on Top Gun in War Ball, and Top Gun was always favored against us, and you and your brothers Gaurav and Karan would put you out there, and we would somehow find a way to get it done. I feel like my team, much like Adventure Camp in War Ball, will find a way to get it done over Team Joe and Team Lowe. Are these players playing with set NBA teams, or are these NBA 2K rosters comprised of any number of your different characters on the game?
That is a great question. So,
thank you, Ronnie.
It's injury-free rosters. So Kevin Durant is back on the Nets, and you know, Clay and Steph are back on the Warriors. and you get to pick 8 of these 30 NBA teams. But the real twist is that you can only play each team once.
So ah.
It's some interesting strategies. Once you use a team, so the Lakers and the Bucks obviously finished the regular season really well, and they're probably the two best 2K teams, obviously. It's going to be interesting to see whether they use them in the early single elimination rounds. The first two rounds are single elimination. Or they try to save them for the best of three semifinals and finals, which play later on ESPN this week.
Wow. So you could
create some really interesting strategies. And then, you know, like KD, for example, he's, I think, the one guy that doesn't take the Lakers or Bucks. I'll give you a little spoiler. He doesn't take the Lakers or Bucks, but he has the Nets, the Thunder, and the Warriors. What a surprise, right? His three former teams. I think that's really smart because he knows how those teams move. And, you know, we spend a lot of hours in the lab dealing with, like, off-the-ball movement and all that stuff. So I think he's just familiar with that. So it was a really interesting strategy. I just wonder what team he's going to take on. His first game is the first game at 4 p.m. Pacific time on ESPN tonight.
And it's single elimination in the opening round.
Single elimination in the opening round. You lose, you're gone.
Who's Durant going up against?
He's going up against Derrick Jones Jr.
Ooh, nice guy, and Curley could knock Dibbs' number one pick out almost immediately. Is it possible that, like, both competitors could each use the Lakers, where it would be Lakers on Lakers?
Yeah, so the away team has an advantage. The away team gets to pick first. Derrick Jones Jr. is the away team.
Okay. Okay, interesting.
It always goes lower seed, but then he gets to play as the home court, which is a little bit of an advantage in 2K.
It's fantastic, Ronnie. Congratulations on putting together such an awesome event and something that's definitely going to fulfill the Sports Jones. And good luck with your pregame show, Ronnie. I'll be looking forward to seeing you out there. And, you know, every time I see you out there, whether it's the NBA celebrity game or all the things you do, I can't help but harken back to that shy fourth grader out there on the playground at Old Ross School.
I mean, I haven't changed a lot, Dan, but my basketball game's gone a little bit better since then, so there's that. And I've gotten a little bit taller as well.
Yeah, you and your brothers, all of them going about 6'5", by the way. The
Jeez,
same.
Really? Oh, my God. Ronnie 2K, ladies and gentlemen. Ronnie, we appreciate the time and the insights, man. Good luck tonight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Today's show Take brought care, to man. You by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Lo, how do you know him?
You know, we have a mutual friend, and he's always traveling, you know, because the events that he does. And he wanted me to watch his dog, which is a little cute little dog. She's like freaking little feisty little thing. So I'm watching her. She's like trying to warm up to me. Then by the end of the day, we're sleeping together. We're cuddling. We're going for little walks. Beautiful, beautiful little dog. Beautiful.
Does he live in the Mita?
No, he doesn't live in the Mita. We have a mutual friend.
And where were you watching this dog? Here in the Mita or down in Fresno?
Here in the Mita. He's here in the Mita. So I'm watching a dog here in the Mita while he went out of town. So I'm Joe.
You're a dog walker. Dog watcher now.
Dog sitter is incredible. Low Neal.
What is
Neal.
Going on dog today?
I told you I like to serve. That's you know I'm that's who I am, man. That's a
like
huge
that.
Part of me.
Hey. I love that. Speaking of which, serving please. Yesterday, Lo was serving the community well. He hosted an AMA and Ask Me Anything on our Instagram page at 957 The Game with the great Jerry Rice. We have some audio from this remarkable conversation for you right here. If nice guy, you'd be willing to play this, I'd love to hear it from you.
Oh my God. Has Jerry heard about you naked wrestling in the shower? Seriously? Come on. Don't listen to Joe. I have never, ever wrestled in the shower. Okay? Ever naked. Joe and Dibs, you got to realize they just come up with that stuff. I don't do that. Do I look like the type of guy that's going to be in the shower, buck naked, wrestling with dudes? Please. Come on.
Wow.
People sliding into the comments. Stephen Babb, one of our favorites.
That was
fired that
Jerome
question
that,
at Lo. Lo read bad it, Jerome, so he addressed it.
He read it like he was Ron Burgundy in Anchorman. It just came on the screen, and he read it, and he couldn't help it. He just blurted it right out there.
Because why don't you tell Jerry, ask Jerry about naked wrestling? Did he? I mean, come on. I mean, I see that in my car. Come on. We got everyone seeing that goal. I mean, everyone's watching the screen, all the stuff that people are saying.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I want people to go. There's some of the billions. We got billions out here thinking now that I'm running around wrestling, being naked, trying to get them in the headlocks, buck naked.
I was doing some like live stream YouTube stuff while that was taking place yesterday, and I'm using the camera on my computer as my, you know, to film me. So right. I have it all set up. I have the little studio thing I'm doing here, and I'm talking to people, and you're trying to look professional, but I've got a Mac, and I've got my phone linked up to the Mac, so when text messages come in, they pop up in the top right corner, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm like trying to smile and I'm nodding and I'm answering these questions, and I see something pop up where like right away someone's like, Joe, you got to come get your boy, he's on this stream, he's talking about naked shower wrestling, like all these texts are popping up giving me these updates, and I'm catching it out of my eye, and I'm like, oh my god, how much longer am I gonna be on this thing? And I'm looking down, I'm like, man, I got like 20 minutes left, I don't know what's happening, apparently there's chaos breaking up on this live stream. I wanted to watch it while I was also on my own stream, and I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to pull that off.
No. Seriously.
People on the text line, Chilton Autobody, 95795, they love it. They're asking for more. We'll play it again. We'll play it again because the people want to hear it. Low during the Jerry Rice AMA yesterday. Take a listen.
Oh, my God. Has Jerry heard about you naked wrestling in the shower? Seriously? Come on. Don't listen to Joe. I have never, ever wrestled in the shower, okay? Ever naked. Joe and Dibs, you got to realize they just come up with that stuff. I don't do that. Do I look like the type of guy that's going to be in the shower, buck naked, wrestling with dudes? Please. Come on.
Joe and Dibs. It's so funny how he says Joe and Dibs when I never, not even once in the almost 4 years we've done this program, have I ever gone out of my way to bring that up. Yet, Joe, white guy, Dibs, white guy, I might as well go with Joe and Dibs. And the second piece of this, you're a guy who's done this entire show shirtless. And additionally, you've pulled down your pants. So for you to say that never happened,
what you're doing?
You have no credibility. Mind? Now that you've painted me with this brush, with this white paint of Joe and Dibs, so now I'm going to have to get on board with it.
Oh, my God.
You do shirtless radio, so who's to say you wouldn't naked wrestle?
We should get the t-shirt made up that just says, we should get a t-shirt made up that just says, don't listen to Joe.
Yes. Not bad.
Yes, we should.
Don't listen to Joe. Oh, my God. You can just, as he's working his way through this, we're going to play
it
one more time.
I'm thinking it right.
I want you to pay attention and, like, think about what this looks like as Lowe's working his way through. He's trying to host an AMA, and all jokes aside, doing a great job with Jerry Rice, asking questions. But it's not easy to host because you kind of got to steer the ship. You got to have the questions ready. You got to be listening to the guest. You have to coordinate a bunch of things at once. You're running logistics here. So you also have to be on guard for someone trying to slip one past the goalie here. And that's what Babb's trying to do. Babb's trying to pull the old wraparound from behind the net, try to get it past the goalie before he can get down there and block it. And this is what ends up happening. Take a listen. Nice guy.
Hi, Steven.
Are you under the impression I'm not going to want to hear this 40 more times today?
Oh, my God.
The rest of the show is
Jerry
going to be
heard
this.
About you naked wrestling in the shower? Seriously? Come on. Don't listen to Joe. I have never, ever wrestled in the shower, okay? Ever naked. Joe and Dibs, you got to realize they just come up with that stuff. I don't do that. Do I look like the type of guy that's going to be in the shower, buck naked, wrestling with dudes? Please. Come on.
I throw that buck naked in it. Because Dibs, and you co-sign every time he goes down this road, hit the text on 95 and tell Dibs he does co-sign every time this happens. Yeah, Lo, you do co-sign about naked wrestling. When
First
Joe's
of all,
on it.
You do not have my signature on any piece of paper as it pertains to any alleged naked wrestling.
Oh, my
Secondarily,
God.
Now that you have painted me with this brush, of course I'm co-signing from here on out. You're doing shirtless radio, despite my constant.
What does that have to do with wrestling, Coach? What does that got
to
do with wrestling?
It has to do with your tendency to do a number of different things while naked. Watching Chris Davis bat, live radio, shower wrestling. It all makes perfect sense. It's a pattern of behavior.
This also sounds a funny thing, and I'm not going to play it again. But, well, I mean, I'll play it again a bunch of times at the end of the show, probably.
You are.
But There's a part where it feels like this is all, and Babs weighing in on the Chilton Autobody text line. He's saying, in all fairness, he made sure to ask before Jerry got there because he didn't want it to happen while Jerry was there.
Right.
But it sounds like you're trying to set the stage for this Jerry Rice AMA. This happens,
right.
And essentially you're pleading with everyone, like, please, people, Jerry Rice is coming on. Can we keep this respectful? Please.
Yes. 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 I'm just like, hey, let's talk. You know, hey. We're waiting for Jerry. We got a couple minutes to kill. We're waiting for Jerry. Hey, I'm getting to some questions, some hard-hitting questions about Jerry. How did this greatness start? When did it begin? Just, you know, just getting them going. You got some things to ask me. Let me know, and I'll get Jerry involved. Just, you know, just getting it out there, getting the crowd, getting the billions going. All of a sudden, here comes Babs. Please ask this. I'm like, oh, my God. That just, it was the first question, so I'm just watching because it's going.
Literally, the first question you got on the stream was about Naked Shower.
Like, that's why I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, really?
Why did I agree to do this?
Because I wanted to, and that's why I was so animated about it, because of the fact I didn't want this to turn into now everyone starts asking these crazy questions and my mind starts going all over, you know, trying to ask what question to ask. I'm like, dude, stop.
During the football season, I did this stream Monday nights, Thursday nights, Sunday nights, and Sunday mornings getting ready for NFL games. I would come on, I would do, I would just talk betting, and I would take questions. Well, the thing is, you have the iPad up so you can see it. It's facing you. And on Periscope, you can see these questions coming through. And a lot of good questions. You know, what do you think about this game? Are you concerned about this injury? Did you see this? Stuff like that. Good interaction. But there are listeners from the radio show who would go into this stream, and I would start seeing random things pop up from people addressing things we talk about on the show. And never any of the serious stuff, the goofball stuff. And then immediately you have to figure out how you're going to keep moving. Like, cause they're trying to get you just to slip. They just want to see the first slip up, the first break in thought. And I pride myself on being focused, but man, there's a few times they just got me. Like just a random grilled cheese comment popping in there. Some random comment about Pat Burrell.
Right.
Some nonsense sliding in. It's like all these questions about the Monday night game. And then it's just like, hey, how come you didn't tell the Pat Burrell story today? And it's like, oh my, And then you see other people, oh, what's the Pat Burrell story? It's like, damn it. Now you got people from my other world coming in and seeing stuff from my radio world. Now this is all crossing up. So do I address it or not? All while trying to keep talking, while staying on point and doing the whole thing. And you realize it's just going to turn into a mess anyway. That's the beauty of stuff like this, though. It's actually real. That's why the other day I was telling you guys to start the show, no more Tiger King. 2 days ago, I'm watching Pat McAfee try to consume this giant McDonald's tray in 90 minutes. And then last night, I'm watching this dude, Jonathan Bales, try to pull off 2,400 push-ups in 12 hours. These are the things I'm watching now. And I'm realizing they're somewhat popular. And this is actually reality TV. For years, we build Survivor and all these other stupid shows as reality TV, but they're not. They're scripted. The Kardashians, they know what they're doing. These are legitimate reality TV shows. Yesterday, that was pure reality. Lowe's going in. He's got a plan. He knows what he's supposed to do. And right out of the gate, here comes something real. A comment about Naked Shower Wrestling. And now it's on. Now it's on, big man, trying to figure it out.
Oh, my God.
He loves Dibs. Joe is enjoying this right now. He's already played it 5 times. He absolutely enjoys this.
Yeah.
The chaos really, of it is great. It speaks to the new nature of entertainment, like Joe's saying, because so much of what we see in, quote, reality TV is staged, it's pre-planned, it's edited, it happened weeks ago or whatever, but these sort of direct-to-the-viewer or direct-to-the-listener experiences, and honestly, between you and Jerry Rice, I'm lucky enough to work with you and to know Jerry a little bit, so you have some insight, but if you don't know Jerry or you and you're a fan of one or both of you, you're absolutely going to watch that for the insights, for the football conversation, but also for the stuff that Joe's talking about. Can we see a slip up, or not necessarily a gotcha moment, but something where, you know, whether it's grilled cheese or whether it's somebody talking about Jerry's glasses that he was wearing or something that's going to happen that might be unique to that moment, something that's real, you know?
The most popular stream I did during the NFL season was a Sunday night stream where I showed up for it after having pounded like 10 White Claws and I lost every single bet earlier in the day. So everyone coming on the stream, most of them had been on the Sunday morning stream. They knew all the picks. They knew I was like 0-9. It's 1-8. It was something horrific. And I show up on the stream and I'm just, I got lit. I was just completely lit up. And I just opened the stream by trashing all the teams that had done me wrong and how unfair life is and I don't deserve this. And it was just this crazy drunk rant followed by this pretty sound analysis for what I was going to do that evening, and then just stormed off the set. Like, not angry, but it was just this completely chaotic moment where it was me not trying to be focused, and people were going nuts. They thought it was hilarious. Some drunk guy on White Claw. There were White Claws, like, all over the table. I'm ranting about all these teams, because I got beat every way imaginable that day. I think I was getting beat in an overtime game as I started doing the stream. And it was just one of those colossal days where everything falls apart. But people are getting into that. Dibs, you see it with your kids.
Yeah.
People on their phones. I mean, I can't tell you how much programming out of left field or non-conventional programming we have on. The channels the kids like are all YouTube channels. Like, they're all different little series and shows that show up on YouTube, or Beastie Boys videos. For some reason, the Beastie Boys are huge with these two. I get the Beastie Boys playing 12 hours a day in this household. Yes, the video for Sabotage, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Hey Ladies, Fight for Your Right, like all that stuff. Intergalactic.
You got to fight.
Yeah. Beastie Boys are on a loop in this household on a regular basis. A lot of times it does not make sense.
A mix between Sesame Street and Beastie Boys and WWE. I can't wait to see what your kids are going to be like as young teenagers.
They're not going to be solving world problems, let's just say that. I'm not really setting them up for a whole lot of intellectual success, shall I say.
You know, Joe, if they want to watch some TV, also they got those Avengers and all those deals. Put Kids Avengers Workout in on your TV, in your smart TV.
And is it YouTube?
YouTube, and it'll come on your TV. And so, or you can say whatever, Karate Kid videos work. So actually the kids can have their favorite adventure and showing them how to work out in the house. So be something that you can look at too and keep them busy, because it's teaching them how to work out as well.
I will. I absolutely will. Yeah. She's got them out there doing yoga. They do these yoga for kids videos where they lay out three mats, and you've got the three-year-old kind of following along, her trying to get a workout in, and the baby just, he'll do one thing, and then it's just terror. It's just try to break and destroy and escape. That's it. That's what you realize when you have a one-year-old. It's just break, destroy, and escape. That's it. Over and over and over. From the 510, Joe needs to unblock me on Twitter. That's interesting. I don't block people. I don't block people. The thing is, I've blocked maybe two people in my life. I take it as a sense of pride. I don't want to block. I want to be mentally strong enough to just ignore and not get worked up. Very calm. Me and the Dalai Lama, we have a lot in common, is what a lot of people will say. But we're unfortunately out of time, so
I'm like
can't Dikembe really get into
Mutombo
that.
On that thing. I blocked three people yesterday, just on principle.
He muted
my college roommate, the great Kenny Flamer. He's on timeout right now. Enough, Kenny.
Coronavirus response
has been unsatisfactory.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Take a play off, Kenny.
You have to be a fan of Dibs or he's shutting you down. He's shutting you right
Dibs,
down.
Dibs, you go and block, huh? They're doing too much?
Straight block. Get out of here. Beat it.
All right.
Not Eric, today.
Eric Davis, Super Bowl champ. Three-time All-Pro cornerback. He's going to join us next. Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
I'm not Bradley Cooper, as some people understand.
That's a hot take.
On 95.7 The Game.
Bit of sad news. Bill Withers, the legend, Lean On Me, Lovely Day. You're hearing him right now. Has passed away at the age of 81. Bill Withers, gone at the age of 81. It's been all over the place today, Dibs. I don't know if you're a huge fan of the music or not, but you generally tend to know a heck of a lot more about music than I do. So this is where I bring you in. 81's a good number. That's the thing here to take away, is that 81, that's a good number. That long, robust life right there.
Without a doubt. And I'm more familiar with this song and some of his other hits at the top of his catalog, not too deep into all the music he's put out. But anytime a musical legend, somebody of that sphere passes away, it definitely hits you. And I also do the same thing you did right there, Joe, which is 81. You think about the number and, you know, you can't help but personalize just about everything that happens in the world. You think about how it affects you and your loved ones. And you think about 81 and you think, you know, I'd take 81. 81's a number you'd take.
I'm sitting there trying to
81.
Think about that. I'm looking at you listening. And then all of a sudden, Skype adds a third person to the call as the shirtless Lorenzo Neal joins us. Great to have you with us, Lo.
Yeah, 81. You know, it's like, do I want my body being looked at 81? Cremation, that's another. Just, you know, you're old, 81. You know, that's a freaking unbelievable life. You live 81 years on this earth is great. I mean, you know, you probably don't have your teeth, don't have a lot of this stuff. I mean, I don't need people staring. Just cremate me, say some nice, you know, nice things about us all and move on. But his song was great. I love that day, Lonely Day. But
Are you of the mind cremation at any point, or are you only for cremation for the later stages?
Oh, it's any point.
Any point, any yeah. Because I remember the casket slapping conversations. I didn't know if that was just because you didn't want an open casket.
It so just cremation. A lot of that. Yeah, I mean, you guys turned that into a bit. I tell you guys about my personal life, and all of a sudden it's a slap. Remember, you guys had the drops, the dibbly punching the buttons, and doing all that. When I tell you guys about what I want to do, but I think you guys are starting to cross over.
You were the one that told us that you watched that video of the gang member showing up at the open casket funeral and slapping the guy who had passed away on a live stream, and that you specifically were now altering your late wishes to include for cremation because you didn't want to run the risk of getting slapped while being in your casket. That's not a normal thing, though. That doesn't happen a lot. So you could, you know, I think it could be trustworthy.
No, it doesn't. But think about they open up at the end. They open up the casket. Flies are jumping on. Just it's for people. You can't. I mean, it's
there's
like
no flies. You understand that they treat the body beforehand with formaldehyde,
I'm talking about
go through a great process to where there's
I
no
do.
Flies.
No. Dave, right, about like that, maybe the flies we'll in come the back. Church.
We'll
the
come back.
The church. Not
we'll,
like
we'll come back. Eric Davis is with us, Super Bowl champ. Sorry about that, E.D. Sorry about that. How you doing?
Wow.
It's amazing when I walk in on when you guys open the door. It is incredible.
Yeah, that was actually like a week-long conversation we had about going cremation over a casket because Lo didn't want to run the risk of someone coming up and slapping him while he was in the casket.
Does it really matter if you're in the casket and they slap you?
Exactly. No, it doesn't. But that's I just like Edie. I just think don't want to necessarily have this big deal when I. You know what? It's fine. Be cremated. I don't want the body being there because then people cry. But if you just have a nice ceremony, they talk about you. A picture's up there of you. What do I need to see a dead person? Your blood's out of your body. You're sitting there, hands. No, you know what? I've been to enough funerals. Sometimes I don't even like to look at the casket. I don't even want to go. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to mirror. I'm like that. Go home and I'm thinking of that body. I just, you know what I'm saying? That's all.
Okay.
Gay. He said gay.
I'm not even going to get into this conversation with you.
Yeah, that's smart. That's a really, really savvy veteran play right there. There's no easy way to transition either, so we'll just jump into it. I was thinking about this morning. I didn't get a chance to ask the guys this. As we get set for the NFL draft, less than a month away, should it still be able to continue on as planned? A lot of people projecting the Niners grabbing a wide receiver at 13 or possibly at 31 if they wait later. What's the scenario, or how bad does it look if they come out of the first round and they don't take a wide receiver? Is that going to be an issue for the team if they pass on the position altogether within those first 31 picks?
No. Why would it be an issue? To me, it looked like it would let me feel that the guys that they already have in the wide receiver room are developing. Remember, they've been addressing the wide receiver room the last couple of drafts. You have guys like Hurd that he's been injured. He hasn't been on the field. The expectations were for him to be on the field. And the thought, for me, the thought is, would Emmanuel Sanders had even been on the team? Would they had even made a trade for Emmanuel Sanders if Hurd had stayed healthy and developed the way Deebo Samuel's developed? You know, so you have to look at it that way. So if they don't address it, it's okay. I'm completely fine if they get a big body. I'm actually okay. Everyone's talking about you got to have a – you have to have a wide receiver, or they need to, you know, trade back and get later picks in the second and third round. Why not give up both first rounds and move up and get a pass rusher? I mean, there are so many different scenarios. I would have no problem if you go and get the kid from Ohio State. Go get Chase. I'm fine with it. You give up both. If you give up both first round picks and go get that guy, and you have those bookends for the next 5-6 years, they'd be okay. You'd find a wide receiver. You'd find a corner. You'd find all the other things because those guys are easier to find than big pass rushers or big, really good offensive tackles. You'd find a left tackle. So there are so many different scenarios that could play out in the draft. You will run yourself crazy trying to say you have to have this guy. But the 49ers don't have to draft a wide receiver in the first round to be a good team.
Do you think that the 49ers need to draft a corner, not necessarily with that first pick or the second pick that they have in the first round, but bring somebody else in to upgrade that position? Or do you believe that Akello Witherspoon and Emmanuel Mosley and whoever else they have back there can accompany Richard Sherman and be more than comparable?
I like the guys that they have, and I believe that they can develop and be solid. But the answer to your question is yes. Always bring in competition at that position. It's just like you always bring in wide receivers, be it the early in the draft or late in the draft, or there'll be other guys even if it's from the free agent market. You bring in competition. You don't have to draft the skilled guys, the outside skilled guys early on to find players at those positions. The corners that we're talking about right now weren't first round guys, and they have the ability to be solid starters, and they have the ability. Spoon's got to get out of his own head, and he needs more time on the field, and so does D-Man, just more time on the field. But they both have shown that they can play. I mean, someone asked me yesterday, do I believe Emmanuel is the starter? I'm like, hell, he started in a Super Bowl. Games don't get tougher than that, and he was out doing right. What he was supposed to do, so he will continue to develop. Yeah, you bring in those guys, the smallest guys on the field, and you have to run into guys like with big necks like Lowe, so you know your injuries can come in, so you always bring a guy.
E, earlier we were talking about your 94 team. I couldn't stand you guys. We'd come in from New Orleans, you guys slap us around.
It was fun, too.
And we're talking, and Dibs has this, bracket, which is awesome. And he talks about the Warriors, the year the four goes and pick up they go to the Hampton and bring in KD. And we're just talking about which dynasty, which era, which team was, if you were comparing, which one showed more dominant. I looked at KD and I said, that's compared to you guys went and got Dion. I looked at certain things, your defense, Draymond, you and how you were, people threw at you and interceptions, pick six, because everyone thought, okay, you want to go to Dion? Well, hey, I forgot, I got another Pro Bowl and Eric over the other side. So when you think about that team, what made you guys like dogs? You guys just would go out, man, and just what you did to the Chargers, blew them out, Junior. Was it just you guys just knew? What was it about you guys just knew that, hey, look, no one can play with us?
There was just that belief. First of all, we were very hungry, and we were focused. People always talk about playing mad. You can't play football mad because when you're mad, you can't think clearly. But we were focused. We were intense. We were on a mission, and it wasn't just at practice. I mean, it wasn't just in the game. It was every day at practice. Some of the biggest battles that ever happened that season with that team were on Thursday when our first team offense would go against our first team defense because we didn't want them to catch a ball. One-on-one, we didn't want Jerry. We didn't want John Taylor. We didn't want them to catch a ball. We wanted them to know that not just the opponent, that you guys better be glad we're on your team. And that's the way.
How competitive would that get?
No, I'm telling you, it was competition at the highest level. But offense wanted us the same way. They wanted us to know that, look, we're going to try to put up 40 on you guys the same way we put it up on anybody else. And we're like, that's not happening. it's not going to happen. And we would try to erase them. And that's how it went. So going into the games, it was the same way. And remember, we were a group that had been there. We were accustomed. The mindset was win a championship. And, I got drafted by the world champs when I came in, and that's all I ever heard. And it was like, you have to deliver on this promise because we brought you in and with the promise of winning a championship. You're supposed to deliver a championship. And when we got the other guys in, Ricky Jackson,
Ricky
Champ comes over, and you get Richard, we get Richard Dent. And, Tim Harris has been a part of the fold now. And Ken Norton, all of these guys, is a mindset that we have to do this. And Prime comes in, and it's like, do what you do, man. And he just worked hard and at a level. And remember, Prime was like you down in New Orleans getting smacked by us. He was in Atlanta getting smacked by us. So this was his time to come in and say, I want to see what it feels like to be a champ. That was the thing, man. So that squad
across, not to mention that we were all hitting our prime and pretty good. We were pretty good players that were ready to turn the corner to be even better players. And collectively, between myself, Tim, Merton, Prime, we just felt like we could do whatever we wanted to. And we had guys, I mean, we had backups like Toy Cook. Think about it.
Yeah, T. Cook. Was in New Orleans with him.
He was a 10-year starter in the NFL, and he was our backup free safety. So we could match up with anybody. We had, you know, Tyrone Drayford, the rookie, came in, got five picks. We could play man-to-man across the board against anybody. So when we wanted to play combination defenses and trap defenses and trick people, you never knew what we were doing. That's what made us good. So, the thing with the Warriors, the comparison there is, like, it was like, who do you guard? With us on defense and our secondary, got to a point like, who are you going to go at? Because we had a bunch of guys who could make plays, and that's what made us good.
Eric Davis joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Competitive people are generally competitive in all walks of life. Not asking for any names, but Lowe's told some of these stories before. When you guys were traveling on the planes, the hotel rooms, did you ever have any of those legendary Bure games or poker games or anything like that?
Oh, man, we would play in-between. In-between.
Woo! Don't get caught.
Oh, boy. You want to see people get their hearts broken. Where you get their hearts broken. I remember a $64,000 pot. It got up to $64,000, and this rookie got caught. You wanted to see, I will never forget that, just watching him, just watching all of his hopes and dreams of that entire season just die. Because that's what you could see. You could see. Because the thing about it, you don't realize how much money is really out there until you get caught and you lose and reality kicks in. Because it's just a fun game and it's going fast. And JT was always flipping the cards and he was really fast, really fast. And then all of a sudden it hits you and you're like, wait, I just lost $5,000. Oh, I just lost 15. Oh, I just lost $64,000. And there was crying. There were tears involved.
Man, no doubt. Especially in, you know, the mid '90s, where $64,000, that's maybe a quarter million nowadays. When you,
dude, start, I was to about talk to say $64,000 is a lot of money today. It doesn't matter when you lose that over cards. Come on, man.
No, without a doubt, that's big money. Eric Davis here on 95.7 The Game. Take me back to the NFC Championship game where Dallas had gotten you guys a couple straight years, and you guys, you know, you've got the better team, but you still have to go out there and prove it. You get an early pick six in that game. When you found the end zone, did you know at that moment that things were going to be different that day?
Yeah. I knew, and as you said, I felt in 92 we were the better team. We had gone through this. In 92, I will go to my grave. I've had this conversation with Emmett. I've had it with Haley. I've had it I've had it with Irv. I feel like we were the better team, and we let one get away in 92. We should have beat them. 93, that was the best team I ever played against in my life, and they beat us up. And if we played 20 more quarters, it would only get uglier. They beat us up. And so 94, there was no way. I literally took 2 days off. 2 days after that NFC Championship game, 2 days later, I was back on the field training. And that's how most of the guys were.
Wow.
There was no offseason. We literally, that's how that, it was like never again. It was embarrassing. It was, you know how it is, a street fight. No. We went to the park, and they took our ball. Not only would they not let us run next, they took the ball and made
good
us watch. That's how it felt. So we walked out there, and it was like, we got to fight. So, when you say, did that early pick let me know? It was kind of like the entire season and the way we were playing and the things we were just talking about, what we knew we could do and the players we had on our team and the way we competed every single day. We knew that wasn't happening. And Prime and I had a conversation before the game, and I told him, because remember I said the legend of Prime didn't start until he got there. He was in Atlanta, wasn't winning playoff games. We had been in that situation, and there was some nerves there. And I told him, we got this. Like, dude, don't worry. We got this. So when that play happened, everybody. So that's the thing. When that happened, when I saw that happening, when they came out of the huddle and I saw that formation, I knew what was about to happen. And Tim and I said to each other, here it comes. I knew that play was about to happen because we had studied it. We had seen it. We were prepared for the moment. And
When I got that ball, that was it. It was a can that was open.
I holla.
Once that can opened, we weren't going to close it. There was nothing that was going to do. At no point did we feel like it was out of hand. And when Jerry got that touchdown, you talked about that play right there. It opened the can, and right before the half, when the ball was up in the air, I remember standing there next to Merton saying, "Jerry's going to get this. Jerry's going to get this." We knew it. Jerry's going to get this. And when he came down with that one in the end zone against Larry Brown, we were like, "There's no hope." And it didn't matter. We knew we were going to win that game. It was our day, and it was about damn time. I was tired of losing to them.
What was that can you guys opened up, Eric? Was there a name on that can?
Oh, that was a big old can of whoop ass. Huge. it had like big red, nine red letters. A-S-S. Like that, you know, it had a big W on it. It just didn't say whoop, it just said W-ass. Because, you know, like the W could be, you know, you could flip that and say it was like the wind can, however you wanted to do it. But it just said W-ass. But everybody knew when they saw it on the sideline. Lo, you know, you've seen that can when you came up from New Orleans.
I saw that can. Boy, up close and personal. It wasn't fair,
guys,
man.
You guys were great, though. No, I was going to say New Orleans was great. You guys played just hard enough to lose. We knew that.
Wow. Two
Super Bowl champs.
No, you do know that's a thing. That really is a thing. There are some teams that just play just hard enough
right.
to lose. They're going to give you a fight. They're going to be prepared. They're going to be tough. But, you know, they already know. At the end of the day, they're going to lose. And that was New Orleans.
Super Bowl champ, three-time All-Pro corner of the 49ers. Check out the podcast, Believe in 49ers, on the Believe Podcast Network. Eric Davis, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. We always appreciate the time, ED. Have a great weekend.
All right, man. And Lo, man, have a funeral. Your kids are going to want a place to they're gonna want a place to visit you, man. Think about that. Don't be selfish.
Yeah.
I will, but I can still put an urn in the ground. They can still come visit.
They're not going to do that. They're not going to do it. They're going to smoke your urn.
ED's on fire.
What a great exit.
Walk him off, E. You opened up your own can on low right there.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
Oh, man. Who's going to bury an urn in the ground?
Me.
Why? Has anyone ever done that?
Of course. If you just get cremated and you still want your body, and if you still want to be, if you have a plot, so you get a plot and you get your wife, kids, whoever you want to have a plot and just have it already marked out, but you pay for it ahead of time. So now you just know everything's set up. Too many people, they wait, and then all of a sudden now everyone else gets to dictate how they think the funeral should go. Why not take control of your life? Joe,
smart.
You take control of it. That's all. It's not
smart.
A big deal.
Wags on Billions, Joe. Billions coming back next month. Wags, this guy was trying to get a super great plot in New York City, and he's ready to spend like $100,000 to get this plot, and there's all this back and forth because he wants to get one of the great plots in the great cemetery on Manhattan. Wags.
He gets got for that too. The guy he snaked out of that plot gets him back in the last season that just happened when he thought he was getting inducted in that scenario and then that society. And then I won't say anything else. Dibs knows what I'm talking about. That's a good show.
It's called
Billions.
Okay.
It's called Billions, Lo. You would like it. And yes,
yeah, awesome.
Well, they like it just right there. You guys say no more. Just
dude,
right
it's,
there.
It's high level. It's super rich investment dudes. The guy from Homeland, Damian Lewis. Is it Damian Lewis? Is that his name?
Yep.
Damian Lewis, he's the main character, but it's awesome. Paul Giamatti is like his rival in it. It's multiple seasons in. You start from the beginning. It's on Showtime. You'll love it. It's one of the most well-written shows, well-researched shows on TV. I follow Brian Koppelman, who created it. I follow him on Twitter. He's very, very smart, very intelligent. A lot of good details put into it. It's a great watch. Okay. Every single episode. You like every episode. All the storylines are fantastic. Yeah. That show has never missed. Every season's been good.
Thank you.
Every season.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you for not wearing a shirt today. That's been our pleasure, by the way, on Skype. Shout out Skype.
I feel good, Joe.
Man.
I get to work out. Don't worry about my shirt sweaty.
You ever see anyone lose more than 64,000? He's talking about what he's saying in between. He saw someone lose 64K on in between. You know that game. Do you ever see anyone lose more than 64K?
Oh yeah. I had a guy, and I'm not mentioning names, in San Diego where he had to go and He had a Mercedes. Bring the keys.
Pink slip.
Blueprint. Pinks, exactly. Where, man, these dudes, they get... They
did he lose it crazy. On the plane?
Yeah.
And then when you man, landed, gets, he had to go get the pink slip immediately? Like,
some of them don't have the money, Joe. Some of them big bank, all talk and no dough.
Man.
And now you got to go buy a Yugo. You got to go.
Shout nice out to guy. Yugo.
Nice guy. Do you have the Wheel of Fun?
Yugo.
Hey!
Hey, it's 8:50.
Guten Tag.
8:54, actually. On Hola. Joe Low and Dibs on a Friday, and the Wheel of Fun kind of turns into the Wheel of Frustration. Now, gentlemen, I want you to rank these 1 through 3 in terms of the most frustrating. 1 being the most frustrating, 3 being the least frustrating. All right. Slow walkers, slow drivers, or slow food orderers. Rank those in terms of frustration. 1 being the most frustrating, and 3 being, well, the least frustrating, I guess. Lo, I'll start with you.
Drivers, food, walkers. Hey, when people driving real slow down the road, I can't get going. I can't get around. Can't go to the left or the right. And I hate the
poop but, dog.
No. Because when I sit down to eat, I want my food coming out. That's what I want. I want it right away. I hate food when ordering it don't come out. So I got to go 2 for the food order. Yeah.
All right, Dibs, go to you on
when
this
it
one.
Comes to the walking.
Is that what you call hosting? You're supposed to transition off of that mess and give me something more than a sigh and then my name.
How else am I supposed to react to what just happened?
Hey, what do you think I have been doing for 5 years? But you do it for 1 minute, and it's frustrating for you. Try it for 5 years, son. 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, 365 times 5. Try it then. You got to come on there. You got to make a joke out of that. That's where things like grilled cheese come from. You got to have a way to play off that. You can't just sit there and defecate in your pants and then just say, Dibs.
Defecated my pants in that one.
What's the question again, Steven? I lost track after that great rhyming.
In terms of frustration, 1 being the most frustrating, oh, yeah. Down to 3. Slow food orderers, slow drivers, or slow walkers. How you ranking those?
It goes walkers, drivers, food orderers, because oftentimes your slow walkers are taking up all, if not most, of the sidewalk, so you have to then go into the gutter, endangering your own life to get around them. Slow drivers, even if they're in the fast lane, there's invariably other lanes you can choose, and as you speed by them, you can give them the death stare on your way by. Slow food orderers, while slightly annoying, you got to realize when you're going out to eat, you shouldn't be in a rush. This is something that Joe always talks about, and I totally believe in. Take some time out, eat a little bit more slowly, spend time with your loved ones, and just take a little bit of time out. So if you're going to spend an extra 5 minutes ordering food, take your time. That doesn't bother me that much.
Joe, on to you.
All right, I hate them all. I hate them all, obviously. So I rank them essentially as a tiebreaker in order of what is the most inconvenient in terms of how hard it is to eliminate. So, for example, it's drivers 1, it's walkers 2, it's food 3. I hate the slow food order, but it doesn't take up as much of my time as the slow walker, as the driver. The driver's the hardest one to get around. If you've got bad slow drivers on the highway and they're pacing each other in the lanes, you could be behind them for a few minutes before you get an opportunity. A slow food order is really just a matter of seconds, and a walker is just a matter of effort. Like Dib said, it sucks, but you go down into the gutter, you do whatever you got to do to get around them. So it's really an annoyance with all 3, but it takes longer with the drivers, and then it takes slightly longer with the walkers, and then the least longest with the food orderers. I will say one thing about food orderers. Too many people do this. Really annoying. Starting with, can I get? Can I get? And for you, sir, can I get? It's already implied that they are going to be bringing this to you. They have given you a menu. They let you know what they have. The assumption is that you have looked at this menu or you already know the menu and that you will be asking them for something that they will be bringing you. That is all implied in the transaction of going to a restaurant. So when it's, can I get A, all that's wasted. Just simplify the words. I'd like the ribeye, medium well, side baked potato, extra sour cream, asparagus. Now, I'm not saying that's the best order, but like, just lay out what you want. It doesn't need to be, can I get a, can I get everyone with the, can I get, it's implied right. that you're getting something. So drop that sentence. That's it. Connor Latorno from the San Francisco Chronicle. Very interesting story recently. According to sources, Warriors might not be looking at the players we all think they're looking at in the draft. We'll talk about that on the other side. But first, if you're getting to work, remember to keep listening to Joe Low and Dibs on your mobile phone or desktop. If you haven't already, download the radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Take full advantage of radio.com Rewind and other awesome features on the app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.